Hey, this is Dave Ryder from New Spring Church here in beautiful Perth, Western Australia. Really praying that this message is going to help you. If you'd like some more information about our story, just head to newspring.org.au.
Well, we don't have to visit that place. We stay in that place, don't we? That sanctioned place of the Holy Spirit, that He has come to just be manifest in our presence, to proclaim Jesus as Lord, to us, cause us to ascend to a higher place. Because sometimes life happens, yes? And just, you know, we're ordinary people and for doing things for an extraordinary God. And He is so wonderful. And just to pause for a moment, to allow ourselves just to humbly come before Him and allow Him just to grab us in a new way, to show us new things, to refresh us. You know, I was asked by my dear friend that I bought today, Asher Rose. She's one of my closest friend's daughter, and I just felt to bring her here tonight just to give her an exposure to another house, so that she can be enlarged. And she said, "What did you do today, Christine?" And I said, "I rested in the Father's heart." And you know, just sometimes even getting bored is good. Allowing yourself just to not have to do the next thing. There's so many things to do. But just to allow yourself just to be still and know that He is God just centers us in moments of time. And so I just want to encourage you, wherever you are in life, whatever season, whatever place, your workplace, your personal space, really felt tonight that God has given me a word just to bring some hope and encouragement to you. I don't take it lightly, being given a time just to speak. I don't choose this. My Father has continually encouraged me to embrace it. But my place is one-on-one. I love just having a coffee and conversation and just a friendship. You know, my friends have been friends with me over 20 years and I've got some beauties at that. Some of them are in ministry now. We all started just as friends and they all went into pastoring. I thought, well, goodbye for a little while. But I kept just hooking them back in and saying, "You're coming back into my life." And sure enough, you know, I've been privileged to build a friendship with some significant leaders in the city, some people that, like my dear friend Asher Rose, have gifts in the arts, that teach art, that in schools, you know, even were in a great space of ministry but chose to serve children in a school, one of my dearest friends. And I watch her, and now 2 days a week I serve her. I'm a trained teacher, but I've chosen to be an EA. Go figure. But I love it because I watch her. Her heart is just to build these little treasures at 4 years of age, and she sees the diamond in the raw form and she's forming them and she's praying. And so everything that I see her doing when I go in and serve for just a couple of days a week, I go, well, I'm going to pray for that because I like what she's doing. Or I might come into a church and I embrace the pulpit, or I'm just with a friend outside of the church but she's a pastor of the church and we're just going down south for a time together, or we're going out for dinner and that person is serving day after day many people. I love just to be and hear them and love on them and get them in my space for a time, because I value people that are serving. My dear friend's mother, she teaches children art all over this city. People will begin beginning to know of this lady and her name. Why? Because she's willing to teach them art, how to do it step by step. And, oh, it's brilliant. Picture perfect. Picture perfect. I actually sat in her class. It was a bit of a bucket list on a few of our genders and us over 20 years of age, sat in her class rather than littlies, and I made her teach us, and every single piece of art, because of the kind of teacher she is, became picture perfect. It was like, really, can we do that? I thought I was just a stick figure person. To celebrate people. But anyway, that's just a little bit about me and my heart, so you can sort of know me a bit better. Is that good? But I really wanted to speak a message to you, and that this message is about the ascended life. This message is a message of my heart, not just a sermon, but I'm going to share a bit of my story. I know, Asher, you'll enjoy that because you don't know much of it. Your mum knows a lot. That's why I brought you, not her. She might have got bored hearing it again. But I really felt this would bring hope and encouragement to you, because ascended life, and to live an ascended life, is a powerful place to be. Even though we're on earth, we are seated in heavenly places, amen? And even though that you just feel like life is mundane and, yep, okay, 6 o'clock goes off on our alarms, yet again I'm up and it's cold outside, who wants to get out of bed? But God is wanting to encourage us, and I believe this is going to encourage you so much. Some of you are going to get new hope tonight. Some of you, I heard out your pastor say, some of you have felt like you're stuck in some areas. You're going to be unstuck from places tonight. Some of you are going to feel an impartation. Go beyond me as the messenger, and go beyond the message, but go to him as your messenger. Because I believe you can bypass the vessel and you can go to the source of all sources, and he will cause this to be right where you are, anchored to your soul and just for you tonight, because you didn't come out away from Netflix for no reason. Uh-huh. That series that you're watching that you're wanting to get back to, you're here tonight for a reason. And so let's just look at Ephesians 2, 4 to 6. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 to 6 says, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, that word there, raised up, is from the Greek word synergero, from which we get the word synergy from. That means we are synergized with Christ. We become one. We are together with him, and two are better than one, yes? And so we have a greater effect than what we could have on our own. So when we come into the kingdom, we become synergized, raised up, seated in heavenly places. God is wanting you to know tonight that you are raised up. You are to live an ascended life. To ascend means to rise to a higher place. To move from an inferior position to a superior one. To move towards the source. Divine alignment is what we're talking about. So sometimes when you feel inferior or feel awkward, socially incapable. Oh, I get that often. awkward, socially awkward. Whoever feels that sometimes. Position your heart, come away and just back up a bit and allow the Father of Fathers and divinely align yourself in him and come from that inferior position to his superior position, far above everything that is in this earth. See, the earthly pool, the dimensions of the earth, the spheres of this earth, you know, you've got different things that you can, atmospheres you can walk into. You can actually become awkward in an atmosphere because that atmosphere is trying to make you and position you inaccurately. Come on. A person can be around about you and they can dishonor you in their heart, and all of a sudden you feel awkward. They can judge you, and all of a sudden you can feel awkward, or you are in a position of a job and you've been sent on assignment, but you feel like you're diminished in your authority and you can't quite be who you're supposed to be. Sometimes I even suffer that in my own house as a mother. My son puts me very well. And then I go, I'm mum, your son. You might be right, but I'm also still mum. So I humble myself, get it right, make sure there's an honour factor coming through from my heart to whomever I'm with. Because when there's honour, there's superiority. Come on. Superiority is in Christ. It's seated in Christ. It's humility. The humblest of person is one that is moves from an inferior position to that superior position and moves into an ascended a lifestyle of this ascended life. See, often we're trying to make it all happen, hype it up, but the greatest move has already happened. We don't have to do any more movement. Do you know you can be still and know that He is God? God has moved once and for all. When He sent Jesus on the cross, He died, He resurrected, and He is now seated in heavenly places far above everything that's named here on earth. Are you getting me? You're coming with me in this story. So everything that's below the kingdom of heaven, it is below it and you're seated. You don't have to move. You're actually still. You're refreshed. When you're not refreshed, when you're vying and fighting in yourself, when there's a struggle within, that ain't the kingdom. Yes, there is a violence, but the violent take it by force and the violent just step. Jesus just stood on water. He walked on the water. He said, "Peace, be still." And it was. God is wanting such an authority on us as believers that when we speak, "Peace, be still." My husband speaks to me, "You will sleep tonight." I know many nights of lack of sleep. Who suffered that? But I sleep like a baby. And if there is a time where I go through something, he just recently came in and spoke, "You will sleep tonight." I slept well. To get to that point of authority, there must have had to be some sort of honour in my heart for Him. There must have had been some sort of transformation word in His mouth. This is the person that God wants us to be. Those that are living an ascended life. Don't wait for God to move. You move. The greatest move has already happened. It ain't going to happen again. Sila, it's done. It's finished. Now be. Now live an ascended life. I love this quote, "Truth cannot be brought down. Rather, the individual must make every effort to ascend to it." See, it's a positional, a divine alignment. You cannot bring the mountaintop to the valley. If you would attain to the mountaintop, you must pass through the valley, climb the steeps, unafraid of the dangerous precipices. So there's something there about being unafraid. I want you to grab hold of that. Truth and fact are totally contradictory here. Truth is we are raised up and seated in heavenly places. But the fact is our circumstances and our seasons of life sometimes keep us trapped and put into a position that is lower than the state of life that God wants us to live, an ascended life. And so it's your choice. Tonight you're sitting here, you're making transactions in your brain, you're thinking about your life. It's your choice to live an ascended life or be descended. Live an earthly life. But Jesus has given us a beautiful invitation. Be seated with me in heavenly places. But life doesn't always present circumstances to you that enable you to live that ascended life. I know what it's like, even coming, and I told you tonight, coming here vulnerable out of a big season in our life, going, "Oh, I just want to worship. And this is just amazing." Feeling stuck to a certain season of my life. I wanted to share a little bit about this. Peter's been telling you for a long time now that I have a story. My story is this. I was born on Anzac Day. And you know, Anzac Day is a day of battle, but it also was a day of courage for the dear men that went and lost their lives. So here I am, a child born on Anzac Day. I felt like I entered a battlefield. Unwittingly, I was in a place where my mother, she had bipolar and schizophrenia. She had a mental breakdown after birthing me. They gave her shock treatment, and that is
It causes them to have seizures to try and help them with their mental problems. It gives them relief. It caused her to become a very different person. So I grew up with like a child, my mother. The parents, my mum and dad, the marriage broke down. Whilst it was breaking down and the government hadn't ruled who I was going to live with, my mother put me in a home, a children's home, at the age of 4. Mum went into hospital. She was so scared of giving me to my dad. He was with another woman by now. And so here, this little girl, I remember walking down this place. It was like a hospital. It was like so bare and like so very bleak. A feeling and a sense of abandonment, feeling a sense of loneliness, and I did not know if my mother or father were going to pick me up again. I lost my dog at that time, you can imagine. The dog's given away. The pain and the trauma that took place at that time. Eventually, Mum did come and get me, and their relationship went through the divorce situation. My father chose to leave us, and I felt rejected, and I felt very abandoned. My mother was schizophrenic and bipolar. And so in this childhood stage, my mum's in and out of hospital. She didn't love me or was unable to love me. She loved me, but she was unable to love me like a mother should. I was emotionally and physically abused by her all my life. My home was unhealthy. She kept food. It was off. She made me eat it. The milk, I'll never forget that smell. I had to drink it. We didn't have enough, but then she was a hoarder. So we didn't have enough, but for some reason, she didn't spend her money. But in the house, everything that was there, she did not get rid of. She used to wash with horrible, putrid water. I remember the sink just going into the kitchen, the toilet, it just stunk. I used to have to wear my clothes around my face because it was the stench of my house was just disgusting. My life was opposite to an ascended life. But one thing I can say to you, I was brought up in the church. Mum had a love for God, and somehow the Father met me in that, and all the way along I had some sort of hope offered to me through spiritual mothers and fathers. And that's more of the story, but I won't go into that now. So when I was married, I finally found my partner, my life partner. He said, I love you, but I didn't know what it was to be loved. So I did not know how to be loved and what love was all about. I became a mother, and in that becoming a mother, I had to learn everything about what it was a normal mother like. So it's been a journey, you can understand. But one thing in my heart, even from a very young age, I remember being on probably the second row and going to sleep as a child, but always coming awake when they used to sing, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name because you believe. Others will know that I live. I sang with my heart that song. And I knew that one day God would change my circumstances around. And I would find life in the midst of the darkest despair. And so I clung to this verse, and it has been a life verse for me. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 in the Message Bible says, get away with me and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of life, of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. See, I'm coming into marriage now. I've skipped a load of years, but I'm a young married 22-year-old, and I had to learn not to battle in my mind because my mind was racing. My hands used to shake like that. I couldn't stop them. There was such a condition in me that was sending me into a very similar pathway as my dear mother. You know, she went in and out of mental hospitals as well as hospital. So there's more of a story of that, but for time I can't share all of that. But what happened is now I've got a battle. I'm 22, I'm married, I know I've married right, because God, there's a story behind that. I married the right man, God led me to him. We've been married next year 30 years. But my mind was messed up. My hands were shaking, I couldn't sit still. I fought to keep sanity in my mind, and one day I went to Peter and I was in the bathroom and I literally got a towel and I ripped it because my mind was going into this dark, black place. He had to get our pastor over at that time and they prayed for me out of that dark dungeon, and I had a fight on my hands to come out. I had a child, and then obviously after the child, you know, you sort of sometimes we say the cells are preconditioned or something, but there was a depression that came through, and so I had postnatal depression. My friends did not understand how to carry me at that time because I was the minister, so I was supposed to be there for them, but, you know, it was a very lonely time, so I was screaming in my pillow saying, God, help me. And one day he said, shut up, because he's already helped us. He's done all the moving he can do. He just wants you to step into and receive wholeness. Is this helping some people or someone? I hope it is. So I came out of that depression and started learning to live a little bit differently. But there were still bouts and battles on my hands. And then grief after grief, you know, my brother-in-law, you've heard a bit of the story through Peter, a tragic accident, his wife was killed on impact, a drunk driver smashed into them. I had to walk through that with their kids. You know, Peter went into PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. He could not get out of bed for days. This is just before we walked into this church. Thank you, church, for coming here and being so wonderfully committed, because it brought some of the wholeness after this to me. So I had to come and take a backward step and just be with Pete and restore him. Having come through some seasons of battle myself, I understood what it's like to have depression and that dark veil over the mind, the dark night of the soul. So I stood with Peter and said, you will get through it. It's okay. We wrote on our fridge, it's okay. You know, battles of grief, buried my friend's 17-year-old, tragic accident, three boys died all at the same time, 22-week-old baby passes away in my very close friend's arms, anxiety attacks happen on friendships, in friends, mental illness all around, you name it's there. I'm pastoring too at this stage, right? We've been in ministry for 29 years this year, 15 of which I pastored. In those pastoring stages, I need 2 days to unpack that to you, because there were people that loved us, rejected us, honoured us, dishonoured us, you name it, it came against us. And so everything in my heart became stuck. And I got into a state where I didn't know what was going to happen next. I feared. Remember I said, grab hold of be unafraid of traversing through the dangerous things. See, sometimes life can present dangerous things and bad things and traumatic things to us. So at that stage, I became so stuck, I grew weary of everything. I was reluctant to be a minister, and I was reluctant to be on the pulpit, and I was reluctant to be with people. So I became a cave dweller for a season. Rather than ascend, I live a descended life. I was disillusioned, despondent, and discouraged. Anyone understand or seen people in this? This is life. And if you've lived a few decades, you understand this is life. And I want to encourage you today, God wants us and wants to help us, help others as well as ourselves get unstuck. There were the people in the Bible, there were characters that got stuck. I want to bring you to 2 stories. The first one was the elite soldiers of Israel. They were stuck in their intimidation. Goliath is coming at them. And instead of ascending and living an ascended life, they were descending into fear. Hear the principle. Don't fear. Get unstuck from fear. They were immobilized because Goliath was at them. And see, sometimes we walk into places and spheres or territories where we can get trapped and stuck by our fear and intimidated hearts. And so God was trying to encourage them by sending in David. But Eliab comes along, and Eliab had pride in his heart, and he says, "Oh, David, what are you doing here?" And Eliab, his older brother, in 1 Samuel 17, 28 to 29, he said his older brother heard him, when he had spoke to the men, Eliab's anger was aroused at David and said, "Why did you come down here?" Have you ever had that sort of thought come through your mind? Well, what am I doing here? "And with whom have you left those few sheep? I know your pride and your insolence of heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "Well, what have I done now? Is there not a cause?" So rather than keep silent, he spoke. And with that, he turned, and you know the story. David was used to annihilate the enemy of Israel. See, when one person chooses an ascended life, chooses to be unafraid, chooses to rise to a place and a positional authority, to be cloaked with authority, that very person will not only set themselves free, but they will set everyone around them free as well, including David, a nation. Israelites became stuck again in fear. The Midianites come against them. I read this chapter today and go, wow, it's life. Judges 6, I'm going to paraphrase it for you. Israel cried out to the Lord because the Midianites were persecuting them. And so the Lord sends a prophet to Israel and he says, "I am the Lord your God, do not fear. The gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." See, fear comes from unbelief. Unbelief is looking at the negative apart from God. Unbelief is honoring the natural realm as superior. It's placing your thoughts in the visible and faith in the inferior. Faith causes us to ascend. It causes us to rise to that higher place, to move from the inferior to the superior position, to move towards the source. Gideon was another one. He says in this moment, he's like David. He's going, but different than David, because he still had a little bit of intimidation in his heart. God's saying, "Come on, Gideon, rise up." In the verse 11, he says, "Now the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and said to Gideon, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" Sometimes we need to present our heart courage and speak these things to ourselves. The Lord is always with us in every moment of our lives. Gideon said to him, "O Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has this happened to us? And where is the God, and where are all his miracles?" Often we as a church are still asking that. God, you're so wonderful, but where are all your miracles? And it's okay to ask the questions. Did you know that? It's okay. I wrote on my fridge, it's okay. It's okay to ask questions, but don't stay there, because God says to him, Gideon, "Did not the Lord bring up us from Egypt? From now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites," he says. But the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours." So the questions and the wonderments of life are okay, as long as we hear this, go, be. "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So God is choosing us. He chose Gideon not to be stuck in his questions. He helped him rise up and live that ascended life. And finally, he says to him, "O Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest." The questioning. in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. But Gideon did not get stuck, because what he did, as God was now working on his identity from being inferior to come into a positional graced authority, the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace," and to this day that altar's there. You can be the legacy maker if you choose to be the one who lives an ascended life. Legacies have long-standing effect and they live on for generations, and it's how we're remembered. Gideon's remembered, and to this day that altar to the Lord is still there. Think about the people who you remember who have spoken or been a part of your life. I bet they have some sort of legacy built and thread of legacy still being built through your life. Do you want to be that person for others? When one person chooses to live an ascended life, when we choose to live an ascended life, we can impact so many. Jesus chose that and he impacted all mankind. Live in an ascended life and advance for the advancement of the gospel. Philippians 1 verse 12, that what's happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. That which has happened to you can actually serve to advance the gospel, each one of us. I see it like a diamond. God is like a diamond, and each one of us reflect a part of his favour and grace. Do you see that? So I'm part of that and you're a part of that. I want to give you a visual tonight. Become a part of that. There is one person, as I close, that chose out of an ascended life to become someone who was supernaturally used, and I believe this is the next step for us in the kingdom. Billy Graham. You know, on the tragedy of 2001, plans were being made for the funeral, the mourning, you know, in the cathedral. And as you know what happened, the planes were all grounded after that. But you know, this man chose, and if any of you, hands up if you know Billy Graham. I want to say this to you. Who are those people in your life that has made an effect? Do you want to be like that and even greater than that? Even surpass some of their legacy in your life? There are constantly people around us. This is one man who we can look at even some of his teachings and preachings and go, that's good. What can I do to be like that? See, this man loved the Lord with all his heart, and I'm sure he went through many things. But in his life, he chose to live an ascended life of love, of grace. And on the day that many people died, all the planes were grounded. But a man of God had to get to Washington, D.C. from the place that he was. He had to be airlifted in the sky. This is a man of God, a man mantled, a man ready to continue to walk into his future. So whatever your future is, you can be like this. You might not be airlifted, but I'm telling you, you will be positioned in a place that you'll go, really? I'm here? You will be there. If you choose to live an ascended life, being seated with the Lord Jesus Christ, in him we live and move and have our being. On that day where they're going to hold a service for the people and for many who was mourning, one person got airlifted into the sky. That shows me something profound. Does it show you? Something so profound. Out of ascended life, he comforted many who were mourning. Don't allow your circumstances to keep you from living an ascended life in Christ. Don't allow your circumstances to keep you just looking at the fridge like I could have, and it's okay, and never come out and come into this house and meet you all and be a part of your precious pastor's lives. You know, your pastor said to me, you're going to see my kids grow up. That means a lot to me, and he doesn't know it. Because when I walked into this house, I felt such a love for you all. Though I won't know you intimately like your pastors and those that are serving you as pastoral oversight. When we come in, we come to embrace, to refresh, to somehow just anchor that which is happening in this region. But I want to celebrate this house, and you that are sitting here tonight that have listened and heard something, take it, eat it, marry yourself to it, let it enrich your lives, and let us all be a part of our Father's grace, you know, the dimensions of His goodness and His mercy. Won't you just stand? I just really want to pray over you. I really felt like Father wanted some things for you tonight. He wanted to heal some people from trauma. He wanted to heal some people from fatherlessness. And He also wanted to heal some people from depression. And I'm going to make a little call later, but I want you to stand right now, and I want you to stand in the grace flow of the dimensions of His love for you. And just let Him seat you. It's almost like just be seated in heavenly places right now. Just ascend from anything that might keep you thinking about this state of life, or this season that you're in, or the seasons you come through, or the trauma of life.